Hello everyone, The Other Mark here. Don't forget we have got our first ever live podcast on the 29th of June at the Ball Inn in Thorpe Eslet, that is in Rotherham. It's free admission and it starts at 4 p.m.
Ish.
Enjoy the episode.
Evening boys.
Evening Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm The Other Mark. 3 pints Sally. And what are you having?
A fuzzy navel, please.
Cheers. Offer to Mova.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Mark.
Evening, Mark.
All right.
How are you? All right.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you. Are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you.
Awesome.
I've got a little surprise gift for you, Rob.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Ready for you to get your geek on.
All right, yeah.
Oh. Geek's what, odd?
Geek.
Yeah. Oh, geek.
Oh, right. Geek on.
He's geek on.
Is it a beer?
I'll get me geek on.
No, it's not a beer.
Caravan, is it?
No, it's definitely not a caravan.
Can't be doing it. Listen to him talk about wobble boxes.
It's definitely not a caravan.
All right.
Maybe we could play a game.
Oh, yeah.
So I've got a special guest for us tonight.
All right.
You can get your geek on, Rob.
Yeah, all right, okay.
Is he a caravaner as well?
Well, we could play a game.
Okay.
What's my job?
Your job?
No, not my job.
That's one of my features.
We've got a guest.
His job.
His job.
Is it a he?
We've got Steve here.
Oh, okay. Hi, Steve.
Oh, this bloke.
Hello,
Steve.
Hello, everyone.
Where did you come from?
That door over there.
Yeah. So, Steve, this is Rob. This is Kirk.
Hello,
Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hello,
everybody.
Hi, Steve.
Shall I tell you what he does, or do you want to have a guess? We could do some questions. And no only.
Is he something to do with caravans?
Yes. I'm guessing, given what you've said, is Steve a caravan mechanic?
No.
Yeah.
I like this as a yes-no game.
Do they exist?
Oh, absolutely.
What caravan mechanic?
Well, all right, a caravan mechanic. A caravan technician. Service engineer. Technician.
Service engineer.
Same thing, isn't it?
Or a technician.
A coach builder.
Oh.
If you want to get overly...
Right. Yeah, well, that's what I meant.
Okay.
So does your job involve working with other people?
Yes.
Hmm. Oh.
Well, you sound disappointed that he works with other people.
No, I'm thinking of a question to ask him. Does it involve food?
No.
I'm not asking, because
well,
I know.
Is that it? Have we run out of questions?
Does it involve... working outside?
Sometimes.
I hate sometimes answers.
Sorry, I know it's yes, no, but it's both.
Let you off.
Would we know the company that you work for?
100%.
Oh.
Oh.
Is it Tesco's? Is it Amazon?
That'd involve food, wouldn't it?
No, not necessarily. Well,
no.
Okay, so it's no then.
Okay.
Over to Rob, he's thinking.
Oh, this is a nightmare.
Are you a nurse? That's what I were expecting.
No. Did it require you going to university?
Ooh.
For me, no. But some people can do if they wish.
Ooh.
Does your job involve working funny hours? Or is it set 40 hours a week, 9 to 5?
It's not 9 to 5. It's set hours a week, but they never really work that way. But it's funny hours.
Right, okay. I thought this was yes and no, but... Okay.
I know, but I'm trying to help
you
out.
Yeah, but you also meant to be Kurt next and you screwed him off.
Right. No, sorry, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you out of your misery.
Yes, please.
All right. So, Rob, Kirk and Mark, but particularly Rob, Steve is a cameraman for Sky Sports.
Oh. Sally, 3 packets of pork scratchings, because these boys won't need to talk for an hour.
Oh, that's interesting.
Steve, strapping.
Oh, my.
What have I let myself
He's
in for?
He's going to be geeking all over you.
This is fantastic. Oh, my. I don't think I've ever spoke to a cameraman before, let alone who works for Sky. So
don't get Mark started, because he'll be like, now then, I tried to negotiate a new deal.
Yeah, we'll come to that later.
Yeah, absolutely will. Wow, this is fantastic. Yeah. Absolutely.
Listen, just so you know, Rob, it's actually really now exciting.
It's like finding out Father Christmas is real all over again.
Oh, my gosh.
What do you mean he's not real?
This is amazing. So I almost feel like once you said cameraman, my head went... So I don't know if I missed something. What do you film? I don't even know the terminology.
What do you camera?
What do you cameraman operate?
What do you point your finger at?
What genre of Sky programs do you do?
Yeah, so generally I work for Sky Sports News. So I will go film press conferences, building up to football at the weekend, or sit down interviews with players, managers, whatever.
Oh, wow.
I'll do lives building up to games before, and like post-match press conferences or tunnel interviews, that sort of stuff.
Oh, wow, sweet.
And sorry, can I just ask before Rob goes into all his technical questions that I know is absolutely coming, so I hope you're ready for him. How long have you been doing this job for?
I've been staff at Sky for, 8 years now. Before that, I was freelance, but I basically started when I left university, so when I was about 20, I started. I started out cable rigging, basically from a satellite truck up to the gantry on Soccer Saturday. And then I just worked my way up the ladder, so to speak. And now I do cameras every day, and then I also do like manage sort of some of the smaller productions. Like I used to do all the netball last year and stuff like that.
Nice.
So, and is that kind of how it generally works? It's a general progression into being a camera operator. Is camera operator the right word? Rather than cameraman? Because these days.
In this day and age, yeah.
camera there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah and no. A lot of people just come straight in from college being a camera operator.
Right.
Not a lot of people progress from rigging on the big OB, like outside broadcasts, to cameras on the big outside broadcasts. They tend to stay in that mould or they go off to do other stuff. For me, it's just the way it worked. It weren't like I set my heart out to be a camera operator for anyone. It's just the way my life sort of panned out, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you always have a bit of an interest in like broadcasting and production and stuff like that? And or was it literally a job that you thought, oh, I'm going to do
no,
this?
I did photography at school when I was younger, so I'd always got a little bit of an eye of what looks nice. But that was more arty, black and white type stuff more than any film. Because back when I was young, cameras like that didn't do film. No, they're not like now where every stills camera does video.
I know the
anyway.
Feeling, don't you?
Yeah. Basically, long story short, my uncle worked for an outside broadcast unit in Sheffield. He knew the person who had the contract for Soccer Saturday, providing the cameras and the cable riggers, and he just got me a bit of weekend work. So basically, I used to go along to a match on a Saturday and a Tuesday or Wednesday night, and I'd basically connect a cable from the satellite truck, however means, up over a roof or whatever, or to a connection box, up to the camera, and then that was my work done. And just then basically, I just helped the cameramen up with the camera operators up to the gantries, set the lights up and all that sort of stuff.
Steve, nice. I want you to set a picture for me now, right?
He's off.
I'm very visual. So I want you to imagine that you're at work now, right?
Okay.
On a typical day, and you've got your rig set up.
Yep.
I want you to tell us what that looks like for me to be able to envisage kind of how this looks and for everyone that's listening.
Well,
how does it look? Where are you? What are you wearing? Like, do you have a headset?
What are you wearing?
I don't mean, you know, I don't need to know the details of what you're wearing. Yeah. More like what, you know, what sort of rig do you have to have and all that?
Every job's different. Every day is different. That's one of the good things about my job.
Right.
So if I'm just doing a press conference, for example, I will be there, just me, camera, tripod, back of the room, like a room like this. There'll be a stage sort of behind where you are, where the manager would sit, with all the advertising boards and the lights and all that jazz. I'd be at the back of the room. There'll be a load of chairs in between where the reporters sit. And I'm just at the back of the room recording the manager as he walks in, and then the press conference.
And do you have like a headset on or anything, or is it just you?
No, because in that situation, generally, we're not live.
Right.
So all I'm listening to is the manager and the questions, because there'll be like a moving microphone going around for the questions.
Yeah.
So I'll just be listening to the input into the camera of them.
They say, do they all
here
them,
we go. There's no stopping
in
there.
Do all their microphones all plug into an interface, a box, and that then plugs into your camera so that you're getting direct
audio? Premier League, yeah. So at Premier League, there's a top table mic for the manager, or two or three if it's like a bigger press conference, like new managers and the owners are in and all that sort of stuff. Then there'll be a roving mic that'll go through all the reporters, and basically you'll have where the camera's set up at the back. It's not always just me, there'll be other broadcasters there. We'll just plug an XLR into the output, straight into the camera. Job done.
That's it.
Yeah.
Right, XLR.
I can see your eyes fluttering then when he said XLR.
Male or female?
Oh, so, here we go.
And then how big is this camera?
It's not that big, Rob. For the benefit of the tape, he's got his arms like this.
I bet it's got a good lens on it.
I'd say, like, we use Panasonic P2s at the minute. They are changing. Okay,
yeah. Do you know them, Rob?
Yeah. Vaguely, because they're a broadcast camera rather than what I would use, obviously.
So if I'm doing stuff like that, I would use a P2 just because it's got a longer lens on it, an edge lens. So I've got, like, a J17 on mine at the minute.
Over
does
to,
that mean do you anything
know
that to
I don't actually know what that is. No,
that's
Mark.
Just length of the lens. You, double it and blah, blah, blah. Basically, just because usually you're not right in front. It's not like if we were filming here where you'd have a camera literally right next to us.
Yeah.
I'm at back of the room, so I need a decent length lens.
And
to
is that a is it the focal length of what it is?
Not the focal length, just length of the lens, how far you can zoom in.
Yeah. Right, okay. I was looking at one literally. I'm not it now. I can't remember why I was looking at this, but I ended up looking at, I saw a video, that's it, on Instagram of the guys that actually film football, and they sit on this low chair.
Oh, yeah, camera free. That's called a Sheffield plate, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's got like a big base with it literally, and he's holding
that's always
the camera
free. It's called a Sheffield, Sheffield plate, that voice.
Why is it?
I have absolutely no idea. I just know.
So basically, I'm not that clever. It's a really low down chair.
Yeah,
and
I've seen
it. The camera sits in front of it with a huge lens on it.
Yeah, and they're swinging around in it, aren't they?
Literally
it
swings,
It looks really cool.
Right. Well, that led me to research these lenses, and it's like they're 121 times zoom.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Big old lenses, yeah.
Yeah.
They're for filming matches. They'll have them on like camera two on the gantry as well.
Yeah.
So when you're watching a football match, you've got the wide angle, which is camera one. Then if a player does a foul or whatever, they'll cut in and it'll be a tight shot, like head and shoulders. That's always camera two. They need the length of the lens.
Yes.
To get that tight.
Right. Yeah. Right. Wow.
So something I have always wondered, because I ask boring questions because I don't really care what camera you use, but I've always wondered with stuff like that, like with cameramen, and you know, are you self-employed and like subcontract, or are you actually employed by?
No, so I'm staff, but there's not many of us that are staff.
Right.
So basically, of what I do for Sports News, there's 10 of us between England and Scotland.
Right.
Always 5 of us on shift, but there's also God knows how many contractors that all have their own equipment, and that they have like a list of kit that they have to have. And then if they'll go sent to do the same stuff as me day to day. But like when you're watching a game live, that is all another company that Sky will contract to film the games, and then the cameramen for them or camera operators for them will be, generally speaking, all self-employed.
Kirk, are you responsible for your camera then? Is that yours that you have to look after and deal with?
There's me and another guy that share what we call a ranger vehicle, so that's got a satellite dish on top.
Right.
We share the van between us, so I'm on shift or he's on shift,
right,
and we have swap over. So then all the kit lives in the van.
Right.
Basically.
I'm with you.
I have a question for you. So all these events that you film, what's the best or most exciting event you've ever filmed? And you've gone,
ooh.
Even when you weren't expecting, you've gone there, you want, this is amazing. I'm so glad I've filmed it.
I've done the Open a few times.
The golf
Open, the first one I did was up at Carnoustie. That would have been 2018, 2019, something like that.
Oh, okay.
That sort of region. I was on camera for that, so I was doing Sports News. So we were there basically the weekend before it starts, to start showing people all it's entailed. People will think, oh, filming golf is quite easy. Honestly, the OB compound is as big as Meadowhall in the car park. It is mental. Oh, wow. It is unbelievable, the size of it.
Well, I were going to say, because I don't watch golf much on TV, but when I watch it, I'm going, that must be a nightmare for a cameraman to follow that. But I mean, I don't know if that's easy or not. It just looks... It can't be easy following a ball, flying at speed through it.
The camera I'd have for normal newsy sort of stuff, it'd be next door to impossible, because as soon as it goes in the sky, you can't see it. But the way they've developed the cameras now, the viewfinders are colour, and you can...
Does it track it or something?
No, it doesn't track it, but you can set your peak in, so the white of the ball will light up green. Then when it flies up in the sky, the ball turns green in effect.
It helps them...
When it comes to, like, camera operators or whatever, is there different, like, specialities and skill sets?
So,
would you have someone that specialises, like you say, like yourself, with OBs and interviews and live?
Yeah.
But then maybe someone different that's doing, for instance, filming the Formula One?
Yeah. Basically, what I do is what's called eng work. So I control my own iris, which of exposure for... I know you, Rob knows, but you might not. So I'll control my own iris. So if it's over or underexposed, that's my fault. Okay. Whereas if you're doing a football match or golf or Formula One or any live sport where you've got multiple cameras, they're all connected to a central truck. mm-hmm. which then the engineers will rack the cameras and the colour balancers to match them all. So when it cuts from camera to camera, it doesn't, the colours all match. Yeah. Oh, yeah, so as a viewer, you never notice it. Whereas what I do, my camera's not connected to anything other than my live unit if I'm doing a live or sending a press conference back to London.
And you're
live
still responsible for what signal goes out to that live feed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you are, you've got a lot more pressure, basically.
Or
different pressures.
When it finishes,
it's different.
Oh, I didn't press record.
Yeah, that's when you've got the live you worked. Yeah.
We've had a couple of them on here.
Has that ever happened?
Not where I've not pressed record, no.
No.
Well, following on from that question, what's been your biggest mistake that you've... I'm not saying you don't look like a guy that makes mistakes.
Come on,
But let's say, obviously, we all make mistakes. So what has been your biggest mistake?
I did an interview for a little programme that used to have called Game Changers. It was for basically for kids to watch.
So it didn't really matter then. So
I didn't say that. We were doing an interview with a footballer. I was doing the camera with all the audio coming in, and we had two cameras on the interview. I was listening. I could hear the player, but quite faintly. But I thought, oh, it'll be okay. Huh. It's there. We'll just boost the level in edit.
Sounds like Mark. That's what you're doing. It'll be all right.
It'd be all right. I thought I'd get away with it. But obviously, while you're mid-flow of doing an interview with a player that you've only got for 10 minutes... You don't want to stop because you've eaten into your time. Obviously, couldn't edit it and get around it, and I got a bit of a telling off.
I did not record on his channel at all.
No, it was there, but it was so low level and a bit muffled because the mic had dropped off him, but we'd not realised it had properly dropped off, and it was my fault 100%. But it's a learning curve, isn't it?
Yeah.
Things happen.
I presume that were quite early on then in your career. Don't say it was 2 weeks
last
ago.
Last week.
It was. It was before I was staff. It was when I was on contract for a couple of years on camera.
Oh, okay.
But it was one of them, mate. Yeah, stuff happens.
Yeah, it does. You know. But that's probably been your worst mistake you've ever made.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have a preference? Like, when you're going out on jobs, is there ones that you kind of go, yeah, brilliant.
Any that are local to where I live.
So, you won't do any at Snooker, will you? Crucible? Do you do any of that?
I've never done Crucible, because that's all BBC, but yeah. I used to do... Sky used to have Premier League snooker. Mm-hmm. Like they have Premier League darts, they used to have snooker at one bit. So back then I was cable rigging. So I used to go on a Wednesday and rig the venue wherever we were. And then on Thursday would be TX or transmission day.
What's the furthest it sent you in terms of
Australia?
Yeah,
it don't get much further than that.
No, it doesn't. I'm expecting that I work between Scotland and Netherlands.
Went to Birmingham once.
Chuffy, now what was that for?
Yeah, so the other, a couple of years ago now, I went
Kangaroo
to Australia.
I knew you were going to say that.
No, it was a Women's World Cup, so I was out there for 2 months, which
Brilliant.
Was class.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah, if any of you ever get a chance to go to Australia, go. Unbelievable.
It is somewhere
I'm scared
I really
of spiders.
Yeah,
well, especially big spiders.
That's what I keep saying to my our lass keeps wanting to go to Australia. I'm like, there's just too many things that kill you.
Would
that put you off though?
But it won't pull me off, but
thing is, if you go to Australia, you are going to go to the bigger cities generally. So there's none of that sort of stuff there.
Perth, I'd love to go to Perth.
I did Brisbane. I was there for ages. I love Brisbane. Lovely city.
Yeah.
And Sydney, obviously. Then I was up the Gold Coast a little bit, just because that's where the England women's team were. Had their hotel and the training and stuff.
It's times like that that you go, yeah, this is a great job.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Did you take your family or was it?
No. It was just me. Me, basically, there was how many cameras? There was 3 camera operators, 3 reporters. Yeah, 3 reporters, production manager, and 2 producers. So basically, I was on England. There was one crew that was just floating around and covering the general tournament, and then one crew with Ireland. England and Ireland were in it, Scotland and Wales weren't in it. And the idea was when any of the teams got knocked out, that crew would come back. But obviously, England were one of the favourites.
This is fantastic.
Yeah, so basically, because England got all the way to the final, I had 2 months in Australia.
Yeah.
And then I stayed out there for a week after the tournament, and my girlfriend flew out.
Oh, she, right, okay.
Yeah, so she flew out the week of the tournament finishing. So she came and saw the final. Then we stayed together for a week on holiday, basically.
Right. Free tickets? Did you get free tickets?
What, to the games?
Yeah,
we was in all the games, yeah.
Yeah, I'm good. Well, that's good, isn't it?
That is good.
So when you're covering something for as long as that, then, do you end up on first-name terms with players? And
No, because you're not really...
I was going to ask that. I was going to say, do you get to know them a little bit?
You don't become, like, mates or friends or anything, because they're there concentrating on a tournament. No, like, with stuff like that, we're non-rights holders, so we only get limited access.
Oh, okay.
So, like, if we were there for the Beeb or ITV that I think the tournament was on, they get a lot more access during the tournament. They basically they get like one or two interviews per week as a, like a sit down interview with just them and the player, whoever it is. But England are obviously that they appreciate what we do at Sky and understand that we're basically advertising the tournament for them.
Yeah.
And they also realise that if we're doing a press conference or a sit-down interview or whatever, their sponsors are on our channel. And that's ultimately what sponsors want. They want to be on TV for the world to see. So do you understand
And you don't get much bigger than Sky, does it?
That's the thing,
when you've got that banner, you know, I can imagine that it does give, maybe not to you personally, I mean, more to do with the brand, it opens doors, doesn't it?
Places. Yeah, 100%. As soon as you start saying to anyone, look, we want this, they understand the benefits of it.
I notice it because the only sport I watch really is F1.
Yeah.
And I notice it all the time that, like, as soon as an F1 commentator or reporter or whatever is going up into the pit lane or going, that it's almost as though any of the other broadcasters have to, I'm not saying that it is the case,
give way.
But it's almost as though they have to give way.
A little bit, but you got to consider with F1, Sky, I believe, are the host broadcast that goes around the world.
Yeah.
Whereas if, like, it's Dux TV doing an interview, it's just for there. So obviously, Sky get a little bit preference on that. I believe, I don't know, I've never worked on F1, but that I can imagine that's how it works. I did get offered once and I couldn't do it. I got offered a Hungarian Grand Prix.
Steve.
I know, I was devastated. For some reason, I couldn't go. I can't remember why. And then one of my colleagues.
Hanging off?
I just can't
think of getting married. I don't know. I can't think of a reason. I mean, I could reschedule a wedding, to be honest.
I was going to say, you would.
I can't remember what it was, but for some reason I couldn't go.
Were you recording a podcast with some professional lads for somebody?
No offence, lads, but I wouldn't have been here. I can't remember what it was, but anyway, I got offered to go. And then one of my colleagues went, and he's just done it ever since.
But
he's fine. Thing is, I know from talking to a couple of lads that have done it. One of my good mates used to do it every week or every race. You don't actually see any of the race.
No, I can imagine that.
Because basically, the team that are filming the crew that are going around the pit lane and that, they're all separate and they do all their own thing. But if you're there for sports news, you're generally around the
paddock
area at the back for doing the interviews when drivers have retired early, blah, blah, blah. So you don't see any, you see it on a TV. You may as well be at home watching it with a cup of tea anyway.
Oh, I don't know. I think there's a lot of people that would give the right arm to be stood in the paddock interviewing the drivers.
Yeah. I have worked for F1 Direct before I was staff at Sky.
He's
geeking out.
I thought you knew this.
No, what did you do?
Basically, it wasn't an F1 racer. I went to Portimao about 10 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they used to have F2 and F3.
Yeah.
Oh, it was GP2 and GP2 back then. GP3, sorry. F1 was in like Malaysia or somewhere where GP2 and 3 couldn't afford to go.
Mm-hmm.
So they went to Portimao and it was basically with a view of seeing how the circuit could deal with F1 and all the entourage and have a race there at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So F1 didn't have enough staff to crew the actual race and everyone for GP2, GP3. So they got a lot of freelancers in through various companies. And obviously, one of these companies I knew and worked for, so I got off. I went to Portugal for basically 4 or 5 nights.
Brilliant.
But again, I didn't stay for the race because they needed me to rig and set it up. And then I flew home, and because
I was just there unloading tyres.
I would gutted. I landed at like 11:55 p.m. and because it had not ticked over to the next day when I got back to England, they didn't pay me the next day travelling home. So then the next day, I was back working at like Burnley Envision or something on the Saturday.
Oh.
So.
Steve, you know when you said earlier about not, you don't really get to know any of these other people that you come in contact with.
You get to know them a little bit, so like some of the managers that will recognise you know you, but yeah. they're not like your best mates.
But what
whatever.
About the reporters and presenters and stuff? That do you tend to work? Do you ever like have a you pretty much pair up with them, or is it just literally it could be anyone
well,
at any time?
The reporters are obviously live at where they live, and they're going to send a reporter from Leeds all the way to London for one press conference. Right. That's just. It's not sensible. No. So basically, reporters are all on their patch. So right. we have one in Leeds that's staff. So I get to work with him quite a lot.
Yeah.
But obviously, I get sent across, because there's a lot of Premier League clubs over Manchester, Liverpool way. Mm. I get sent across there a lot, so I work with them guys quite a lot as well.
Right, and so you do tend to work with some of these few people.
Yeah, yeah.
And you definitely get to know them.
Yeah, 100%, yeah, yeah. So obviously, I was in Australia for 2 months with Anton. So obviously, when you finish work, you go for a beer.
Yeah.
What you do because you don't know anyone else there, yeah. so you do become good mates, and I've got quite a lot of good mates that are reporters or other cameramen. Sometimes you're doing like a 3 or 4 camera interview on 1 or 2 guests. You can't do 4 cameras on your own, so there's 2 camera operators there to put it all out.
Or Robert tried, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. He'd be in charge trying to take over.
So I've got another question for you. If you could be a camera operator in any field. In the TV, we'll discount film because that's a completely its own genre, but in TV, if you could be a camera operator in any field for any type of programme, what would it be?
It would be sport.
Would it, yeah?
If Sky Sun said, right, I've got to start doing Sky News stuff, I'd probably leave because I've got no interest in politics and filming child murders and all that sort of nonsense. I hate it. I've got no time for it whatsoever.
What about David Attenborough? Planet
I wouldn't
Earth,
mind
sort of
doing
stuff.
That, but... I'm
be
not
cold
great.
Though, wouldn't it?
It's not always in cold countries, is it?
No, personally, I'm not great with animals. I'm not an animal lover.
Well, that answers that.
So, but I wouldn't mind doing it because you'd be using top of the range cameras because the quality of.
I mean, they don't want you to look after lions or anything.
Yeah,
just hold that penguin there. While
But I can imagine that's quite a specialised subject to film compared to what I do.
I imagine you've got to be patient.
Because
when you look at the programmes, they look like they set up and then they go around and say, we'll be here for 7 days. And you'll be like, what, you going back to hotel? No, I'll
Could
be
Could you imagine what the footage
for
like
7 days?
Yeah, it's not like, it's not like you can just lock the camera off on a big wide and hope something happens. You've got to be...
Well, at the end of these David Attenborough programmes, the 10 minutes, they usually tell you, going, we set up this 7 months, didn't film anything, we had to come back and then weather, and you're like, and it's for like, you know, 2 minutes of footage.
It does look amazing now, and I did, it was exactly that made me think, I wonder if he'd be interested in doing something down that line of work.
Yeah, he doesn't like animals, so.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing it, but I can also appreciate that when you're getting sent to the North Pole, it's a bit chilly.
Yeah. Absolutely. Or South Africa and then it
and it's boiling and then you've got a lion chasing you. Yeah, no thanks.
And is like being a camera operator, as far as you're concerned, like you'd be happy to do that for the rest of your life? Or are you kind of looking at it now and going, oh, I won't mind being a producer or...
Well, not so much producing. I quite enjoy like the managing of smaller productions. Like last year I was looking after Netball. Mm-hmm. Which was just streamed straight onto YouTube for us. But obviously that involved multiple cameras with different operators sorting them out and then working out technically how it was all going to get back to one central place. Then how that was going to then get back to Sky, putting the graphics on. That was a learning curve because I've never done anything with graphics before. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy that sort of stuff.
Are you all right there, Rob? Because you're probably getting quite excited with this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Carry on, Steve. Sorry.
Yeah, we clip out.
It's different doing graphics when you're editing after, but when you're trying to do it live, it gets complicated quick.
Oh, gosh, I can only imagine.
And then you've got a scoreboard, and then you've got an official. We had one game where she pressed the wrong button, bless her. So she added the score to the wrong side, but it automatically updated our graphics because that's the way it worked.
Right.
And then we're trying to work out that she'd done it wrong, and we're like, "Well, the score on the scoreboard over there says this, but our scoreboard, what's going on?" And she just pressed the wrong button.
I've seen it on football a few times when they've done that. Mm. Yeah, a score's gone up, and you've gone, "Hang on a minute!" It is literally these things that you see on TV. I think some people, obviously not you, Mark. I know you understand this, but I think people forget sometimes that someone's going to put them graphics there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get what I mean? That that's someone's job to either design them. put them on, update everything. Them. And like you said, one click of one wrong button.
Maybe you could answer your question about the scar, the scar spurting.
The scar.
The scar cables.
Do you mean the darts?
The dart scoring. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I used to work on the darts every week.
How does the graphics update so quick when they're scoring? Because I, in my head, let me tell you what I've got in my head, Stevie.
I think you're wrong, by the way, with what your thoughts were.
I think I know what this is.
Originally, in my head, I literally imagined someone sat there, and if someone was to throw a 20, someone was pressing 20 on a ball, and it was updating the graphics. Then I realised it's happening too quick for that. Even for someone to press a button,
you
it's
do
happening
know
too quick.
You can even get an app for your phone for people throwing
so
dots at home.
Let me finish.
I don't think there's sensors in the board.
Yeah, but
keep interrupting him, Mark.
But when the dart player throws one dart, the score doesn't automatically update then. It updates once the score is said what the score is.
Yeah, but literally as soon as the last dart goes in. So as soon as the last dart goes in, if they've scored 134, it instantly changes.
Hold on. Is there a lag? Is there a delay?
On the picture.
From broadcast?
Well, there always is, but in that would be different the way you're on about, because it'd have to update in the truck with the graphics after. To answer your question, I don't exactly know.
I came to the conclusion that I thought there must be some sort of the scoring was being registered automatically, whether that be through sensors or whether it be through cameras or
I don't think there's sensors in the board, or whatever it is.
I can probably find out for next time I see you.
Yep, please.
I know the production manager on the darts.
Make yourself welcome, why don't you?
Yeah, I will. I'll pop in every week.
Season 3 darts.
I would really like to know that. I'd be genuinely, because...
Well,
next time you watch it, darts, it's an app.
You've guessed it's an app.
No, I've not guessed.
You've guessed it's an app because people can get apps.
I can't wait till next time darts is on TV and you see Steve walking across stage like that having a look. Yep, there's definitely no sensors in there.
I'm in a group on Facebook to do with like outside lodgers, like what...
Of course you are.
Right, yes. And obviously people have, you know, snooker tables and dartboards in the lodges. And people talk about dartboards all the time. And people talk about this app for your phone that you can get. And they're saying, oh, it's 99% accurate. And they just set the phone up on a little tripod, pointed towards the board. And as soon as they throw darts in, it registers it.
Wait, listen, I absolutely understand that these things exist.
Yes.
Do I think that Sky Sports... filming the World Championship darts
using an app?
I've got an iPhone pointing at the dartboard with an app running, updating the graphics on the screen. No, I don't.
Because they have to keep stopping filming every so often to charge phone up.
I won't put it past something like that.
But they'll have something similar,
Motorola V3.
I'm going to stick by it. I genuinely believe it's one person's job. They've got one fixed angle, a close-up on the board, and they literally sit there watching the screen and... Dart goes and they go, look, one hand. They're not even looking. No. That's their job.
No, because it's easy. It's better for a computer to do it than it is a human. Human will make too many mistakes in a computer.
It's not hard, Mark. It's literally a close-up of a dartboard.
The computers have only been around able to do that for a few years. 10 years ago, they wouldn't have been able to do that.
No.
And it would have been done by... I don't think it would have been as quick.
So, actually, it does bring me on to another question. We've spoke before on the podcast about technology and the development of technology, and especially around AI.
Yeah.
And AI, you know, taking over people's jobs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Do you think that a certain, like, an element of your job is under risk in the future? I don't mean like as in tomorrow, but getting to a point, is it something you worry about?
Yes and no. You're always going to need someone to carry a camera into a room.
Right.
Yeah. Then what's the point in plugging it into a computer when you've already paid
when
someone to carry it?
The person's already there. Yeah.
For what I do day to day, in terms of filming football and things like that, I know they're already trialing or have trialed like basically one camera filming football in 4K on a massive wide angle and then using the computer to zoom in. The problem with it, because it's all one angle, it doesn't work. It doesn't look right.
Right.
So, but in theory, you could do it with multiple cameras at different, all basically rigged into, say, Old Trafford and left there permanently. Mm-hmm. That could happen one day. The problem comes then, who's going to pay for it? Mm-hmm. And then the second point would be 1 week Sky filming a game, then midweek, take Man City, for example. Then on Tuesday night, they're playing Champions League. That's on TNT. Yeah. Then at weekend they're on, it's a BBC game. Yeah. Then on Tuesday, it's, yeah, exactly. So who's going to pay for it and maintain it and stuff? Yeah.
Yeah.
That could obviously get worked around, but it's not a 30-second
conversation. And one day he's coughing and farting and he's doing all sorts of things and you're like, hang on, what's going off here? Well, he's got a gremlin.
Yeah.
The thing is, well, I guess your working day, there's so much more to just the fact that you rock up somewhere with a camera, set your tripod up, put the camera on, set your settings of your camera, all that, which is already a lot to do, by the way. Then you record it, you get it in camera.
I like how you're telling him his job.
Yeah.
I'm learning, I got a clue.
He's justified, because what he wants Stevie to say, yeah, it is hard work or whatever.
No.
It takes ages.
No.
You're really pissed off his bonfires if you go, well, yeah, that's 1 minute gone.
I'm just setting the scene. I'm just setting the scene for everyone.
Yeah.
So Stevie's turned up, he's set up, he's filmed his content, he knows it's all gone well. But from that point on, all he's got is his footage. And I'm saying it because I bloody know. You've got all the footage in the camera, but that's you've then got to get it out of there. You've got to get it processed. You've got to get it.
Well, yeah. If it's something that I'm going to edit myself, obviously I'd just drag and drop it into my laptop and just edit with whatever software.
And do you do that quite often?
Not as often as we used to.
Hold on, you've blown my brain now. You edit your own footage?
I can do, yeah. Oh. So if I'm doing a sit-down interview with a football player, and I put two or three cameras on it, I'll drag and drop the footage from the cameras into my laptop and then edit the interview together of the different angles and then send it back.
And that doesn't take 6 months?
Rob. How we literally just about to say something along
or 12, or 12 months.
Yeah, no, but if you watch the news and you see what's called a package where... say they're talking about the inflation rate or whatever, and then they'll go to the Bank of England and they'll get shots and they'll do interviews with people and blah, 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 blah. That will all be edited in basically the back of a van and then sent back to their central hub, then put on the news.
Robert's still be editing Theresa May's resignation. Yeah.
I think why it's blown our minds.
Maggie Thatcher's,
that,
in fact.
Is that obviously we know it's edited, but we just didn't know it were camera operators that
sometimes,
did it.
Sometimes, yeah.
We thought we were dedicated editor.
That, everything that you've just said there, I understand, as in like the fact
but
that
it was somebody else's job.
Whatever, but I honestly thought that as a camera operator or whatever, your job was the technical side of collecting the footage, and then once you've got that, that would be then sent to a team of editors or whatever that then would
edit. So, but it depends what you're doing. Like, I know how to edit, and all majority of our contractors know how to edit as well. We don't do an awful lot of it on Sports News anymore for whatever reasons. Most of what we do will be sent back and someone will edit, a producer will edit it together. So we would send it back via basically a backpack, which is basically a device that's got 6, 7, or 8 SIM cards in it, or you can plug the Ethernet in it, connect to Wi-Fi, whatever, and then just send it back. So if you've got 3 cameras, say you do a 20-minute interview, you've got an hour's worth of footage to send then. So that's how we'd get back, and they would edit it together, because then if you're doing an interview, say with Marcus Rashford, they'll use shots of Marcus Rashford scoring a goal, getting subbed, whatever the story may be. They will have that all archived back in London and put it into the package together. Whereas obviously out in a field, I haven't got that.
Yeah.
So Stevie, I've got to ask this question, and I think you might find it difficult to answer.
Okay.
Maybe you won't. Who is the most famous person that you've met?
I was going to ask that as well.
Not necessarily pointing the camera at, because I'm sure there's thousands. Who's the most famous person you've met?
Yeah.
If you're talking football, Harry Kane, Wayne Rooney.
Nice.
Pep Guardiola, obviously.
I love Pep.
Obviously. I say obviously, but you know.
Yeah, obviously.
I love Pep.
I meant obviously he's famous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talking general other sports, Floyd Mayweather, Rory McIlroy. Funny story with Rory, we were out filming at Carnoustie. Just went out for walking. I not had a chance to set up my radio mics with the frequencies I was allowed to be on and all this sort of stuff. So basically I was just stick mic with my reporter, just getting a few shots. Rory goes, oh yeah, we'll do an interview while we're doing a practice round. And I'm like, I've not got a wide-angle lens on. I've not got a radio mic. Oh, my God, this is going to be a disaster.
You sound like Rob. That's what it is.
If you understand, I've got a massive camera on my shoulder. I've then, normally, you'd just be wireless, so then you've got less trip hazards. And Rory wants to do it while we're walking down the course. So I've got to walk backwards, by the way. Otherwise, the viewers aren't.
Course, yeah.
So I'm basically walking backwards with a cable coming out of my camera that I'm trying to not trip over on a golf course that isn't flat by any stretch of any imagination. Mm. We out a wide angle, and Rory and my reporter just start walking at a million miles an hour. I've got to match that speed going backwards. It was horrendous. It was like, as a cameraman, you look at the footage and go, that's not great. But it ran all day on Sports News because they were like, oh, you've got an interview with Rory. That just doesn't happen every day of the week.
Yeah.
So that was like a little funny story. And like, the reporter were like, oh my God, we've got this. We don't get this every day. I'm like, yeah, but it looks average. You're like, don't matter, mate. It's great. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
Something you just said then that made me think. Did you say something about the frequencies that you can have radio channel? Is that so that you can't mic someone up and then be listening to their conversation?
No, it's more to...
It's a licensing thing.
It's a licensing thing, yeah. So basically, and also like on something like the golf, a big event, you've got God knows how many broadcasters there. They've all got their own frequencies. It's to stop us clashing.
Right.
So if I'm walking into a certain, like say the putting green, I then can't be clashing with someone else.
Right.
Because we have so many
taxi
licenses.
Taxi for Sandra!
Yeah. We have so many licenses that we're allowed to be on day to day. But obviously, on an event like that, everyone's got specific, you're on this, you're on that, you're on whatever.
Yeah. It's quite interesting that what you just said there about, like, as a camera operator, you look back at the footage and you judge it, like, more harshly. Because Rob's all joking aside regarding whatever software or whatever. Rob is incredible at what he does. He really is. Wow. Rob should be
faster.
Does he want to?
Rob, I've said this for many, many years. What Rob does with its videography or whatever, he should be doing it as a career. He's incredibly talented, and he's
too kind.
You are, and his vision blows my brain. Like, every time he's filming something or whatever, he'll go, right, we're just going to film it from this angle, or we're just going to film it from this angle. And I'm not daft when it comes to stuff like this, but sometimes I'm sat there going, why? What are we doing? But then all of a sudden, he'll use it, maybe even in a 3-second edit or a 3-second, and it makes the world of difference. Mm. And if ever you get chance, Rob has got a YouTube channel called The Big Toe.
Okay.
Toe as in T-O-W.
This sounds really weird.
Yeah.
Where's this going?
Until you know the context.
OnlyFans. No. No, The Big Toe. So it's a YouTube channel about caravanning and stuff like that.
Okay.
That's the fucking disappointment.
I'm devastated.
But do you know what? Watch it from a camera operator kind of point of view. Because bear in mind, when you watch his videos, he's filmed it himself. Recorded it himself, audio himself, edited it himself,
colour graded it himself,
colour correction, any graphics on there that he's done himself, everything is done him. And I dare anyone to not, who knows what they're talking about, not watch that and turn around and say he should be doing that for a living, even right down to the fact of how good he is in front of a camera presenting, but the back end of it and the technical. He's brilliant. And what, just going back to my point, he's exactly the same. He could watch something, the footage, and all us three sat here would sit there and go, that's brilliant, that Rob. Absolutely fantastic. And he'd go,
this could be better, that could be better.
Framing's off, not centred. Or they're not
too much headroom, whatever.
Headroom thirds, they're not in a third, they're not
If you ever get a chance, just give it a watch, because I would actually be really interested to know.
I'll be honest, I'd love to know what you thought.
Okay.
I think there'll be you will definitely notice things that, like I said, these won't notice, and especially because I have to any mistake I make or anything that's not perfect, I just have to fix it when I'm editing it. If I have got too much headroom in a shot that I've done, and there's no one there to correct it with the camera because I'm in front of it.
I
have to then do it in post and whatnot. But I would love to know what you thought of some of it.
We'll have a little look after.
Yeah.
No, I'm struggling for viewers.
Yeah. And also, we should watch the Christmas special, the Christmas speech.
Oh, yeah.
Because
that
was, that's all of us in here.
A caravan towing Christmas special.
No.
What?
So, welcome to Rob's head. He's merged subjects here.
So this Christmas, we did the chatting Christmas speech. So rather than watching The Kings, who was obviously boring, you would watch ours instead. We released it on Christmas Day, 3 p.m, and it's us four in the pub doing our own little speech. But again, that was filmed.
I dread to think what Mark's were. T'other Mark on this. Yeah, I've known Mark for quite a few years now. I need to listen to that.
Yeah, you'll have to watch. We'll show you when we finish recording. Absolutely.
So have you got anything major lined up over the next couple of months that you know about that's coming up, or?
No, because I've just had a little baby.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So
opposed
I've not...
to a big baby? Yeah.
Well, you know, it's what Mrs. could fit in. So basically, I've not got anything properly lined up. They've just left me on the basic day-to-day press conferences, mm-hmm. normal rota sort of stuff. So there's no, like, work trips coming up for me at the minute or anything like that. I've got a meeting tomorrow about a few things and a few ideas that I want to put forward. But in terms of specific big events or anything, there's nothing like that lined up for me at the minute that I know of.
So I can't let that go a minute when you've just said that. So when you say some ideas that you want to put forward, as in, like, production ideas or...?
Yeah, so basically...
You don't have to tell us the ideas. I'm just saying, like, yeah. what from what kind of angle?
Yeah, just more production is more... As we're doing an interview, cutting it and sending it edited live as we do it, stuff like that, just how things can operate a little bit smoother and easier and cost effective. Mm-hmm. A few little tweaks of how we run day to day, basically, that I think could and should be better mm-hmm. for the business and then operationally for all the guys and girls that do my job, basically.
You love it, don't you?
Yeah, it's.
You can just tell the way you talk about it and how comfortable you are talking about it, but the way that you're looking at it from every single angle.
Yeah, because like within the team of 10 that I'm in, I'm one of the ones that will look at how it all works and understand, because I did accountancy at uni, so I understand the business of it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Almost like the logistics of how it all works.
Yeah, so I'm quite good at logistically working out how we're going to do certain jobs and why is this going to work and well, hang on, that's not going to work, we'll do it this way, whether that be on like a production side of things in terms of technically, or whether it be like a producing side of things and what's going to make a better story, because you can't make stories up obviously, but how you can tell the story better and make it the viewer understand what the story is. There's not always a lot of stories around sport in terms of you're not telling a story like the news in a way of they're reporting on whatever they're reporting on with like Prime Minister and all that sort of stuff. You're sort of just reporting on this player's injured, that player's injured, they're coming back from suspension, this formation's not working. But you can, within that, there is a story to tell, and it's how you get that across to the viewer.
Yeah.
Especially seeing as a lot of the viewers that are watching programmes like that are emotionally invested, aren't they, with it as well? So sometimes, like you said, the news or whatever, it's on because it's on.
Yeah.
It's on because it's in the background, or it's on because, you know, whereas people that, you know, I know people that literally they get up in the morning and they switch on Sky News, Sky Sports News, if you like, and they just got it on all day, and they will sit and watch it all day, whether it's about transfer windows or, like you said, injuries or whatever, but they're emotionally invested into it.
Yeah, and also, like, people get attached particularly to their football club more so than just about anything. People love their club, whether United, Wednesday, Rotherham, whoever. People love their club, and they understand when someone's on screen, whether it be one of our reporters or whether it be the manager or player of the club, they understand the tactics and the emotion and finance these days as much as anyone. So you have to be educated when you're reporting what's going on and showing that on screen.
Do you find that when you watch other people's work, when you're watching other people...
I do slag other people off, yes. Yeah.
Not necessarily that work for Sky, but, you know, any
oh, yeah, yeah. Like local news.
Yeah, yeah.
You watch it, you go, a lot.
Nah, frame that wrong.
Yeah.
No, sounds all over the place. No, he's not done that right.
Yeah, yeah. Local news winds me up quite a lot, but they do it on a cost basis. They're getting a lot of youngsters in that are learning, making mistakes. I think that's just the way it is.
Just because that's the best place for them to learn.
I don't know whether it's
the cheapest option.
Yeah. Well, it's the cheapest option for local news to get people from. And to be fair to the youngsters coming out of college or uni or whatever, they're getting paid and then they're learning on the job.
Yeah.
I only learned on the job, but I'd always got people around me. Like with Sky, it's better now, but back then when I started, it was very much sink or swim. If you didn't sort yourself out quickly, you weren't getting any extra work, especially because I was freelance.
Yeah.
If I were making mistakes at the beginning, left, right and centre, I wouldn't be here now.
No.
Did they shot you?
Hmm?
So you mentioned, like, you know, really famous people that you met. When would you say you felt most overwhelmed when you were in the company of somebody?
Apart from right now?
Well, you know.
I don't think I ever have. one of the most nerve-wracking things I did, like, obviously, the first stuff I did on camera was always live. So straight away, I was on doing Soccer Saturday live camera. So it was, I wasn't overawed or shocked by that. But that's obviously just a still shot. Like, yeah. The reporter, basically, I always had a habit of sitting them down so they can't move. A few technical reasons why, but it just made life easier, ultimately.
Yeah.
For lighting and all sorts of reasons. But that was just camera on a tripod. Never had to worry about it. Get my audio settings, lighting settings, done, sorted. The first time I was doing what's called an Envision at a cricket game, the reporter like, right, we're going to go do a post-match now. I'm like, I've never filmed post-match before. And it's easy, basically, camera on my shoulder, reporter has a microphone, away I go. But I'd never done it. So I was, and he was like, oh, we're going to do it as an As Live. I'm like, what's one of them? So basically, I didn't want to tell him that because I'm like, I'm there to do a job somewhere. I've got to know what's going on here. So all it is basically starting a reporter, panty a guest, come back. But I had all sorts in my head going, focusing, all I'd ever done was zoom in on someone, focus, zoom out, like doing focus, sorted. Yeah. Unless your back focus is out, but you never changed it. Whereas when you're going from a reporter there to your guest there, I was like, the focus is going to be different. Am I going to get this right? Am I going to get it wrong? But I had to do it, and you can't. In theory, I could have done it two or three times, but when you've got a guest there that's a sports person, he stood there waiting and he wants to do his interview and then go and have a shower because he's done the game, you've got to do it first time. And I was like, I had to just do it.
And how did it go?
I didn't get fired, so.
Is that how you judge things in your industry? Yeah. Still got a job.
So let me ask you a question that following on from what Mark just said. So all these people that you've met, particularly the famous people, what's one person you've met that you know her because they're famous.
Yeah.
And then when you sort of so-called met them, they weren't who you thought they were. Like,
in a good way or a bad way?
Well, I'm going to say probably do it in a good way as opposed to a bad way. Yeah.
Who have you met that were a total...
as in you thought, well, you know, and then they've turned out to go, you know what, they are really...
To be fair, the vast majority of sports people I've met are all fine. I can't think of anyone. I've heard a few stories in a negative light about a Formula One driver, who I won't mention, but he may be really good and British. but I can't say I've never had that. I've just heard other people say he's not great to be around. But that's not my experience. My experience of all people I've met are all fine. Particularly the lower down the leagues go a little bit, like going to championship, they're all generally just working class lads that just happen to be really good at
working
football.
Working class on 30 grand a week.
Times that by 10 for some of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, you go to Man City, they all were working class lads.
Yeah.
There's very few that were from posh backgrounds because I guess they don't have that drive in them.
They're playing cricket or rugby, aren't they, I suppose?
Yeah, exactly. But they're all just generally nice people. Like, on Soccer Saturdays, one guy, Matt, his first ever job for Sky, he was meant to be basically just watching and learning, but someone else phoned in sick, so he got sort of thrown in the deep end, put on TV with me, and I was like, look, say this, do this, end your reports by doing this, blah, blah, blah. End of the game, he was like, normally reporters are like, right, see you later, I'm off the go. Whereas he's like, oh, I'll stay and help carry stuff. I'm like, well, you don't have to, mate. You know, he's like, no, there'll be loads of traffic, don't worry, I'll help carry tripods and stuff. And I'm like, right, you're sound, you.
Yeah.
But like, you didn't have to.
Do you like the buzz of live?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you say you prefer that?
I prefer when you're doing something that's a little bit out of the ordinary. Mm-hmm. So, like, the netball last year, I was looking after a lot, and, like, because it was netball, I was getting quite a lot of junior staff that were learning the industry as well. So I was having to teach them at the same time as building a bit of kit over there, as maintaining a bit of kit over there, making sure that was all working, and managing people and making sure it was all working. So that I really enjoyed.
And when you're live, would you be working more as a team? Would there be more different cameras, and would you be wearing some sort of headset to nose live?
Well,
it
depends what you're doing. If you're doing like a football or a netball, or where you've got multiple cameras, you get a red tally light when you're on.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff. All the camera ops have a headset and a microphone, so they can talk back to the director. They can hear the director saying on camera one, on two, coming to three next, on three, blah, blah, blah. But if I'm doing like just a live outside Ellen Road, so I'm there this Saturday actually, all I would have my live view device, which is connected by a cable to my camera that goes back to London, I'll have comms coming out of it so I can hear the studio, and then the producers and directors can key over it and they can talk to me and my reporter.
But just by a little device that plugs in.
Yeah, basically it's a box that's probably a little bit bigger than that, but not much. And that's just basically you've got a touchscreen on it and you can see your picture going in. You can see what receiver you're plugged into. And then once you're on the right receiver, you call London. Can I come up on this receiver? Yeah, no. Press the button. You set your delay, because if you're live, obviously you have a 1 second delay. Whereas if you're sending a long interview, you put a 10 second delay in. So then if you get a bit of data glitch, it'll sort itself out.
Right.
But obviously you can't have a 10 second delay on a live, because the reporter will just be stood there for 10 seconds. And yeah. Not saying a lot. I have seen that happen. Yeah, so, but then all I'll be listening to is the studio, and then with like under ear headphones, and then I'll have my big headphones on for the reporter's audio, and that'll be it. It all depends what you're doing and how the day's going.
Time at the bar, please.
Couple of quick fire questions. Favourite sports person of all time?
The is in personality or who I think's the best? Lionel Messi.
Interesting. Have you met him?
No, he's the one person I would really love to do an interview with. Yeah, even though he can't speak English.
Yeah, because
favorite sport?
Football or F1. Tied between them for me.
Okay, and then moving on to a more personal note, which you touched on earlier, you've just become a dad.
I have.
How are you finding that?
Tiring. Nah, it's good. It's tiring. Like a couple of nights ago, Penny did. She went into 3 hours sleep between feeds. That was like heaven. We thought we'd cracked it. We're like, yeah, getting there. She's now gone back into an hour between feeds.
Ooh.
And it's brutal when she's like that.
So how old is she? How old
she's
are you
4 weeks tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah, so she's brand new, basically.
Brand new.
So tonight must be still luxury feeds.
I'm just thinking, no, sorry, I've got an appointment. I've got to go.
We can talk all night, lads. Not a problem.
Yeah, like, we're wrapping it up now. He's like, no, keep going.
Keep recording. I'm having an hour's sleep. Chuck me in.
I've got a question for you.
Go on.
So if we've got...
What's your favourite lens?
No, if we just happen to have anybody that's listening that's actually younger, that's actually contemplated this and thought, oh, do you know what? It's something I'd quite like to do.
What, having a baby or work?
Work.
Right, okay.
How, what would be the career path or the route to get into something
It would possibly, see, I was fortunate because my uncle worked for a company in Sheffield. Mm. I met someone down the line and then I just worked my way up.
And what course would it be that they'd do? Do you know? Have you got any idea?
I know there's media courses in general. Yeah. There used to be like quite technical ones with how where were they? I think there was up at Leeds somewhere where there was quite a technical course on how not just cameras work but how technology within broadcasting works in general.
Right.
I don't know if they exist anymore, but yeah, most people I know that are younger come into it have come through a media degree.
Yeah.
Of some sort.
Right, so go and get a media degree basically.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Sky, he wants to do an interview with Lionel Messi. Is it Lionel or Lionel? Lionel. Can you sort it? I'm just putting it out there on the...
No, because Mark's cancelled his Sky contract.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what?
Mark.
May have cancelled it.
Yeah, he had a falling out with somebody. Yeah, yeah.
14 years old with Sky.
Okay,
what cancelled it. Just bad customer service.
They left him on live chat while they went for the lunch.
Nice.
Sorry.
Is that real?
Yeah, really? Seriously, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Because when she came back,
anyway, shall we spin the wheel?
And then when she came back, she went, "Oh, the offer that I offered half an hour ago, it's now changed. It's gone up." I'm like, well, "You know what? I've had enough of this." So I've gone. I've quit. Anyway,
shall we spin the wheel?
Shall we?
Absolutely.
Shall
why
we?
Not?
Yes.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's spinning.
What's it gonna be? Oh, I'm just so excited.
Come on.
You're nearly there.
The wheel of features.
So what we do now, Steve, we spin the wheel, and the wheel has got many different features on it.
As you can,
whatever feature that it lands on,
randomly,
is the feature that we do in the episode.
Ah, okay.
So that big wheel that you can see at the back
So, spin the wheel.
Well, do you want to do the honours?
Oh, you can spin the wheel for us.
Ah, get in.
Oh, what's it going to be? Oh, what's it on?
Which one?
Fact.
Fact
no,
young. You're brilliant.
I like this one.
I wish you'd stop calling him names.
Well, actually, I'm going to sideswipe you a little bit. I'm glad it's landed on me, but I'm not going to do fact dump.
Oh.
Are you allowed to do that?
Well,
not normally, no.
No, you can't do that.
We're tearing up the rule book.
I can do whatever I want. So I want to put another feature on the wheel.
Okay.
Is it fact dump two?
No. So
number two.
It's kind of one that I've just been thinking about. It's not really rocket science. However, I think it'll make a good feature. So since it's landed on me, why don't I give it a trial?
Absolutely. What's it called?
What is it?
I haven't thought that far ahead.
Oh, right, okay.
Maybe we could put it out to the listeners, see what they think it could be called. Maybe they could name it.
What is the feature?
So basically, I'm going to play you a clip of a theme tune. So it could be a theme tune from a game show, TV show.
Right. Like name that tune.
Maybe it's a theme tune. And so you don't name the tune. Doesn't matter what the tune's called.
Do you know what's happening here, Bob?
Yeah, you know what I mean.
I kind of feel like it's not that complicated.
You're right.
Welcome to Rob. Listen, I can make anything sound complicated.
Welcome to Rob's world,
So
Rob's got his shoes on wrong feet.
He's even checking.
I think what we could do with doing though is
on a pen and paper,
writing them down.
Okay.
So we can just play one and write them down what you think.
All right. Okay.
So have you got some?
Oh, so we write it down as our guess.
Yeah, and then we'll go through them afterwards. A bit like a quiz.
Oh, is there more than one?
A bit like a quiz. Yeah.
I like this.
Okay. Go on then.
I like this.
Question.
So it could be.
How many are you doing?
Let's 20? Say 100.
Five.
Five's a nice number.
Right, off we go. Coronation Street, first one.
So yeah, so remember, it can be game show, TV show, or I might even throw in there a bit of a soundtrack from a movie, Rob, just to blow your brain a little bit more.
You mean a film?
Yeah.
Just being English.
All right. Okay. Film. So are we ready for the first one?
Yeah,
are we ready for the first one?
Ready?
Yeah. Ooh. Ready.
Okay. Don't shout it out.
Write it down. Okay.
Spin it.
Life is like a hurricane.
So that's your first
Walking on the moon.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you want to hear it again?
Yeah, because I don't know what it is.
I don't need to.
Life is like a hurricane.
Brush strokes. All
right. Number two.
So that's your first one. Have you got that one?
Yeah. Steve, do you know what I mean? How old are you?
Me, I'm 41.
Oh, no, it's the same age. Right, okay, brilliant.
I know I've got a lot of grey hair, but, you know.
No, I thought you were the same age.
Yeah.
As me and Kirk.
Right, okay.
Next one.
Is it all of that?
Can you play that one again, please?
Do we get a clue as to whether it is a TV thing or... No. Oh, okay.
No, might be Tweezer.
So are you getting to that one?
Ooh. Okay. Do we get the answers today or?
Yeah, we can do, yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Ooh. Hey, it's good, this.
Third one.
That's not giving much away, is it?
No, but...
I know what that is, but I can't remember the jumping name.
Do you realise how many people right now will be screaming at our podcast?
Yeah, and I'm like, I know what that is, but why, like, I know what it is.
Would you like me to play it again?
Yeah. You could play it 100 times a minute. I know what it is.
You could argue that's actually for two different programmes.
Oh.
I'll take either.
Okay. Do I get a bonus point for that?
Oh, okay.
You might do.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
When we do the answers, are we going to go around individual and say what's your get, and then
tell us who's right. Instead, I was just shouting out randomly.
I don't know whether you've figured this out yet, Mark, but we're kind of winging this. So,
I'm doing it.
Definitely
so
winging it.
Whatever you think.
I'm just putting a plan
as
together.
Most other things we do on this podcast.
Okay, so number four. Would you like it again?
Yeah, please. Sounds American to me, that.
To me, it sounds like
EastEnders.
Egyptian or Persian or something. But I can't think of any programmes around them.
Okay, and number five, last one, you ready?
Is that it?
Would you like it again?
Yeah. I don't need it again.
I know, it's one of the things that...
Can we have the second half?
Ready? Hold on.
Believe you're struggling with
it. That's all
you've got. That's easy, isn't it?
I don't think a lot of our younger listeners will even know what these are.
How many younger listeners do you actually have?
Yeah. One. We don't
actually know how many we have, but.
Okay then, so what have you got for answer one?
DuckTales.
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 Absolutely, DuckTales. What do you get, Mark?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Didn't even know it.
Oh. Do you know what? It's actually been voted one of the best theme tunes ever, like from ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Not by me,
yeah.
Weren't?
Voted, yeah.
Recognisable. It's got to be.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I knew it from like the first beat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Literally. So did I. That's what made me ask how old you were, because I thought, he knows this. Yeah, he's got to be a similar age.
Similar, yeah.
DuckTales.
Never even seen it.
You won't, because you were obviously... TVs didn't exist when that came out. Yeah, number two. Well, I didn't know, but I put... Little House on the Prairie.
You didn't. Ooh. That's what I put.
That's what I put.
I put House on the Prairie.
I went Sound of Music.
You guys don't know me at all, do you?
Although...
Is it the Waltons?
No.
Although it did sound a bit oceany.
Yeah. When you say we don't know...
Little House on Prairie.
You know what I mean when I give you the answer.
Go on, then.
It's the West Wing.
All right.
Oh, is it?
Oh. Yeah, but you said it. You didn't say... When we play this, they're all things that I like. You never said that. Did you?
Yeah.
These are all boring programs that you guys don't watch.
It's one of the best. It's the best program ever made.
Yes.
Oh, that's controversial.
It is the best program ever made.
24.
But that's the second best program ever made.
Fair enough.
I was gonna say. Well done.
Followed by DuckTales.
No, followed by Suits, I'd say.
Oh,
Then Newsroom.
Okay. Can we get back to the quiz?
That was very good. I like that. See? Very good.
Yeah, very good. Number three. Well, I've got both. I've got House of Dragon and Game of Thrones.
Mark?
I didn't get any.
I've got both.
I put Pirates of the Caribbean.
Correct. Game of Thrones or House of Dragon.
Brilliant. Do you get 2 points
if you
got both?
Do they use the same theme?
No. Because they're the same theme.
No, that's just bragging, so you'd lose a point.
Why is it two different programmes using the same theme?
Because it's based on the same story.
Yeah, it's like a spin-off of
fine. Yeah. I thought they were completely
different.
I thought they were completely...
Thrones and Dragons.
Number four?
So... This one I thought were American, but I'll be honest with you, I struggled. I've put NCIS.
Okay.
Well, I know that it's not the actual theme tune, because the theme tune's 24 sounds different. However, it did start like it was building into the ticking, so I thought 24.
No, I don't think it was that.
And then I thought, like you said, Persian, so I wrote The Mummy as well.
Okay.
I can't obviously have both.
I wrote Prince of Persia from the computer game, guessing there might be a series called that.
Okay.
And I put, it sounds like something from Disney's Frozen 2.
Oh, nice, okay. Prison Break.
Okay.
Well, I wouldn't have got that. Cause
quite
I've
a well-known programme.
Yeah, I've never actually watched it, though.
And I'm very good. It's very well.
I've never
the first three
that.
Seasons are good. So now I'm going to go around the other way. So not you first, Rob, for this one. In fact, I'll miss Rob and Steve out for now, because I know for a fact you've got this last one. So, Mark.
I didn't get anything.
For the
nothing
fifth,
at
for
all.
For the fifth one?
No, nothing.
Other Mark?
I had a guess, and I was just guessing on what...
and I it'll be wrong, but now I'm thinking it could be something different.
Can I
wait? I wrote The Walking Dead. Okay. I've never seen it, so I don't know what it sounds like. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking, is one of those sort of gangstery sort of... I don't know if Walking Dead's gangsters, it's zombies, isn't it? What's that one with Shelby's?
Shelby's?
Peaky Blinders.
Yeah. Is that sort of... But I don't know.
So Rob and Steve on three. One, two, three.
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely class.
So that's my new idea for a feature.
I liked it, but I just didn't get any.
Well, that doesn't...
You didn't get any?
Didn't get any. No.
Not that I'm competitive, but who won? Was it me and Rob?
I got three.
I got three.
It was a draw.
Mm-hmm. How many did you get, Mark?
I'm just having a look now. I got one.
Well, that DuckTales.
Yeah.
And I got zero. Great game. I liked it, but I didn't get it.
All right, some easier ones. So next time we need a name.
A name. No, we put that out to the listeners. The listeners can come up with the name.
And then when they've come up with a name, then you make a theme tune.
You can play on a kazoo.
Yeah, then we get a theme tune.
An intro.
An intro. Yeah. Absolutely.
And on that note. I'm just thinking that Steve's coming back every week. I've enjoyed having him on that much. I just want him back every week.
How much you pay, by the way? Who do I send the invoice to?
You have to start paying in. That's how it works, unfortunately.
Yes. That's how it works at this point.
At the minute, it's £60 a month.
I'll take it.
Yeah, so Rob, what did you reckon to your surprise guest?
Honestly, mate, I've loved every second of having you on here, Steve. Honestly, it's been
a
pleasure.
Thank you. Good, isn't it?
Absolutely enjoyed it. Loved it.
Thanks for coming on, Steve. It's been great having you on here. All the best with your sleepless nights.
Oh, cheers. Yeah. I know, like, this is called the chatting. Where's the beer?
Well,
Sally.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want a beer?
Yeah, we'll have a little shandy.
Let's have a beer. It's been a pleasure. See you next week, boys.
Thank you for your continued support with our independent podcast. Did you know that you can interact with us and other listeners on Facebook on the Chat In Tap Room Facebook group? You can also get in touch via email in the chat at gmail.com and, of course, on any of our socials. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.